Book of the Prophet Isaiah, chapter 45, verses 1 to 7. The Lord has chosen Cyrus to be king. He has appointed him to conquer nations. He sends him to strip kings of their power. The Lord will open the gates of cities for him. To Cyrus the Lord says, I myself will prepare your way, leveling mountains and hills. I will break down bronze gates and smash their iron bars. I will give you treasures from dark, secret places. Then you will know that I am the Lord, and that the God of Israel has called you by name. I appoint you to help my servant Israel, the people that I have chosen. I have given you great honor, although you do not know me. I am the Lord, there is no other God. I will give you the strength you need, although you do not know me. I do this so that everyone from one end of the world to the other may know that I am the Lord and that there is no other God. I create both light and darkness. I bring both blessing and disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. The second reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 15 to 22. Matthew, chapter 22, verses 15 to 22, on page 32 in the Church Bibles. The question about paying taxes. The Pharisees went off and made a plan to trap Jesus with questions. Then they sent him, some of their disciples, to some members of Herod's party. Teacher, they said, we know that you tell the truth. You teach the truth about God's will for people without worrying about what others think, because you pay no attention to anyone's status. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it against our law to pay taxes to the Roman emperor or not? Jesus, however, was aware of their evil plan, so he said to them, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin for paying the tax. Then they brought him the coin, and he asked them, whose face and name are these? The emperor's, they answered. So Jesus said to them, well, pay the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and pay God what belongs to God. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away.
I must have preached on this passage a few times. And in doing some research, I learned something very new. Something that I didn't know before. And so it goes to prove that even at my age, you can still learn something. I'd often glossed over the fact about the coin, as though it actually wasn't really that important to the story. It was just used as an illustration in the same way that I use the coins in the early part of my talk. Until my research about the particular coin yielded something very interesting. I managed to find a picture. So I'm not that old that I've got some old Roman coins at home. But hopefully Tom might be able to show it to us. Mightn't you, Tom? He's got his hands full at the moment. There we are. I don't know why Jesus asked for this particular coin, It could be that this was the actual cost of the tax. In some Bible versions, they refer to it as the poll tax. You can all boo now. I'm sure many of us remember the poll tax riots of some years ago when the government introduced the poll tax. It was very unpopular. It was even more unpopular in the time of Jesus. The Jews hated paying anything to Rome. And because this wasn't a tax just on profits, it wasn't pay as you earn, it was a fixed amount. And it was assumed that the denarius was the amount charged for the poll tax. You could say it was a head tax because poll tax is based on people, not property like our council tax or the rates used to be in the olden days. And it wasn't until I did some research about the coin that I learned something new, as I mentioned. On one side is the head of the emperor. And around his head is a laurel crown. Now, I never really taken much notice of the words on the coin. But it says, obviously in Latin, and I'm not going to try and pronounce it in Latin, although I was going to ask Stephen to, because I'm sure Stephen must have done Latin at the grammar school. But anyway, the English version is Tiberius Caesar, son of the deified Augustus. And on the reverse side, where you have the picture of the emperor almost sitting on a throne, it has Tiberius, high priest. Now, Augustus, the name Augustus, implies a deity. So there is the Roman emperor on his coin saying that he is God, God of the Roman Empire, or the mediator of the Roman state religion. Now, of course, to any Jew, that would be blasphemous because there is only one God. And so this is a very clever worked out trap by those who had come to test Jesus. Now, I don't know if you remember or if you've looked recently, but there are some words on our coins. Much clearer on some of the old coinage that we used to have. And I wondered if anybody can remember what those words are. Again, it's Latin. That's right. And it was quite interesting because it wasn't until I was looking this up and I had a look. Often depicted on our coins as fid def, F-I-D-D-E-F. Fedi defensor is the Latin, defender of the faith. And that depicts the Queen as the head of the church and defender of the Christian faith. But the other thing I spotted was that in between the letters F-I-D and D-E-F, there is a cross. And you might be able to spot that on some of the coins. And so in our story, the Pharisees sent some representatives along. Not just one group, but two. those representing the Jewish leadership, the Pharisees, and those representing the Roman authorities. Our story refers to them as the Herodians. And you might think that this is quite an unusual group, particularly as the Jews despised the Romans and wanted to have nothing to do with them. They were an occupying army, an occupying force. And so it's quite strange that these two groups should come to try and trap Jesus. And they'd worked their question very well. It was a yes or no answer, so they thought. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? The poll tax. The cost, a denarius. Because this obviously was intended to put Jesus into a very difficult position. If he said no, then the Roman authorities would be after him. If he said yes, then he would upset all the Jews that were gathered round trying to listen for the answer. Because the last thing they wanted to do was to pay tax to Rome. After all, what were they getting for their money? Nothing. This was going straight into the emperor's piggy bank. There was nothing made of this money. But Jesus shows in his answer that he's aware of their true motive. Of course, they tried to flatter him by saying that he's a great teacher. The stories he tells enables people to understand God's will. But Jesus sees through this, for their intent is evil. They're up to no good. They're trying to trap him. And so Jesus refers to them as hypocrites. And then Jesus calls for the coin, the denarius. And then follows this answer. Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's. Now, because this answer takes them completely by surprise. But it also reminds us of a few things. Everything is under God's control. Governments, councils, rulers, leaders, kings and queens, you and I. But it's also a recognition that we live as part of the world, a world where there is injustice, suffering and pain, and a world where not everyone accepts or recognises the will of God. But we have a civic duty. And part of that civic duty is to pay our taxes. And Jesus recognises that. But he also recognises that we are subject to God's will. And in all things, we should give to God those things that we receive. And it's one of a number of stories where Jesus talks, particularly in Matthew, about those worldly goods and possessions that we have. The things that make our life more comfortable. The pleasures and things that we enjoy. They are all gifts from God. Gifts that we should offer back. Jesus turns this entrapment into one of amazement. For the questioners go away, amazed by Jesus' answer. So often, God gives us things which amazes each one of us, sometimes in such a special way, particularly when we use our gifts and our talents in his service. Some of us older people complain how much little interest we get on our money these days when we put our savings away. But our investments with God sometimes yield a greater reward, a true amazement when we give, when we see how much God gives in return. For we have an amazing God, a loving, caring, generous God. And when we offer everything to him, he gives us so much more. Amen.